Thank you. I don't know about you, but if it gets any stronger during praise and worship, I don't know if this world can hold us anymore. It is good. God is coming and he's manifesting himself. He's actually demonstrating what we're preaching. That what we felt this morning, we learned last week that several things. We learned that the names of God reveal not only what God does, it reveals his nature. We learned that God's nature is the nature of the kingdom. To step outside of anything that agrees with his nature is to step outside of the kingdom. And I really think that believers not understanding that, that's what gets us into trouble 99.9% of the time. Now, we also learned that God's nature and breath flows into heaven and creates the very atmosphere of heaven. Oh, when you get that, it's like I was sharing when we were in praise and worship. Lord, we open up every door, we open up every window. Isn't that what you do in the spring to get all the mustiness out? You open up every door and window and you let the breeze of the cool spring to come in, and it kind of cleanses the house, doesn't it? Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? When you open up every door, the Bible says to lift up your heads, O ye gates, be open everlasting doors. Let the King of Glory come in. We need to open up and just let the breath of heaven to flow through us, that when we do, it begins to cleanse out all the sulfur junk of hell and of the devil out of us. We also learned last week that the very first breath that man ever took came out of the lungs of God. The very first breath that a human body ever took was the Holy Spirit. Your body, not only your spirit and your soul, but your body was created to breathe in the atmosphere of heaven, to breathe in the very breath of God. And so I want to take it the next step, because I want to get into not only the nature of the kingdom, but our nature. Because I'm hoping this morning that I can kind of change several paradigms that you have. Because what I have learned is, if God can change my focus, if God can change the way that I see things, the way that I see things either opens up the door to the devil or it opens up the door to God. Because either one has to be activated by your will, because your will and your faith agree. And when I see things the devil's way, I flow in, if you haven't got it yet, the devil's a copycat. So the kingdom of darkness is based upon his nature. And it's filled with the sulfur out of his old breath. And so there are two kingdoms fighting in this earth, and there are two natures flowing around. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And I'm going to try to get this into 60 minutes, because we're videotaping it. But if I do, it will be by the power of God. The Holy Spirit this morning was speaking faster than I could type. And I was actually, Lord, please slow down. I can't break 150 words a minute. As hard as I try, it's like, I can feel the desire of heaven to invade the earth. There's an invasion going on. Hell thinks it's won, and we're about ready to have a Holy Ghost invasion across this nation. By those who can hear God and can understand and begin flowing with his nature, there's going to be an invasion that's going to drive out darkness. Now let's look at verse 7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. It says that he breathed life into him, the breath of life. The Neshama Chahi, the breath of life. That word breath there means breath, spirit, the breath of God. Every living thing, the very essence. What's interesting, that not only means breath, it means inspiration. Have you ever noticed when God breathes on you, you get inspired? And sometimes I've seen it where devils breathe on people and they've got inspired from hell too. That with that breath comes inspiration, it comes life. It is literally God. When we call the Holy Spirit, when you look through Scripture, he can be called wind, a rushing mighty wind, but he's also known as the breath of God. That the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, hovered over the earth. But what's interesting, the breath of God responds to the voice of God. That when God spoke, that breath turned the chaos, because the world had become void and it became a paradise. We need to understand that when I am filled with the breath of God, that his voice responds to the breath. And so if I'm full of the breath, I respond to the voice. Have you ever noticed there have been times in your life that you could respond in a greater dimension to what God was saying to you? It's because you had inhaled heaven. The breath of God, the Holy Spirit, is the catalyst that enables a nuclear reaction in the spirit realm, if you will, to the voice of God, so that when the voice meets the breath, power is released. And so many times in our life, if we have not learned to flow in the nature of God and to flow in the breath of God, God speaks and nothing happens, because it's like nitro plus glycerin. It's like a lit fuse to dynamite. You know, you can have a lit fuse. I remember when I was a kid, I'm going to tell on myself, Uncle Cecil had some firecrackers. And there was one just there with a fuse. And so I took it and I put it to the pilot light on the stove. Now, I was tall enough that I could be sneaky. And the only thing I found out that fuse did, if you were still holding it, is it lit your fingers. But there was no boom. There was nothing there. Just the fuse. How many times has God spoken and it sizzled, but there was no boom? God spoke, yeah! But then you walk away and there's no explosion of power. There's no great release. It's because we had not allowed the Holy Spirit to fill us. When I allow the Holy Spirit to fill me and God speaks, hell always hears the boom. If God speaks and the Holy Spirit isn't there, all you get's a fizzle. God speaks and there's the sulfur of hell instead of the breath of heaven, all you get is a fizzle. Selah. But I want to take this apart a little bit. Where the word mesh, ama means the very breath of God, the spirit of God, God breathing in the man. Kahi means a living thing, the flowing freshness, activity, reviving substance. I like this. Revival, renewal. Anytime a believer gets involved in a revival, it's because he has finally learned to breathe heaven. And our problem is we think we have revival, then we start holding our breath. That's enough. Don't want to get too radical here. That when God's breath comes into us, it causes life to flow. It causes revival to flow. And what's interesting, not only did I find it interesting that it can be translated revival and renewal, it can be translated community. Now that one I had to kind of pick my jaw back up, because what caused community in the book of Acts? They were breathing heaven. That I'm going to fellowship and I can have community with other heaven breathers. That if the breath of God is in me and the breath of God is in them, I can have community. Otherwise, what fellowship have light with darkness? What fellowship has the temple of God with the temple of Baal that is filled with the breath of hell, sulfur? That's one of the reasons why only true fellowship, only true koinonia can come with those that have the breath of God in them. You can try it any other way and it doesn't work. Doesn't work. All you get is strife and backbiting. Why? Because hell has begun infecting and tearing things apart. Now, it said that when God breathed into man's nostrils, that he became a living being. And this word here means nephesh. It means soul, self, life, person, but let's not stop there, appetite, mind, living being, desire, emotion, passion, your inner thoughts, the seat of the appetites, the seat of emotions and passions, the activity of the mind, the activity of the will, the activity of the character. Now, when God breathed into you, he breathed your ability to have desire. He breathed your ability to have passion. He breathed your appetite. Now, I'm not talking about the buffet bar that you're trying to, you know, the word says Paul buffeted his body daily, you know, and we try to, that's not what I'm talking about. That the Greek philosophers and the Stoic movement tried to suppress appetite. They tried to suppress passion. They tried to suppress desire. And so what you got was what later on was translated in sci-fi as a Vulcan that had no emotions. If you've seen people like that, they're very stoic. God doesn't want us to suppress. God wants us to replace. Because he gave us appetites. He gave us desires. He gave us passions. And what the devil did is the devil switched them for all the wrong things. God doesn't want you to suppress your passion. God wants you to have godly passion. God doesn't want you to suppress your appetite. God wants you to have godly appetites. God doesn't want you to suppress your will. God wants you to have a will that's based upon heaven. God does not want you to suppress even your inner thoughts. He wants your inner thoughts to be based upon what heaven is thinking. And see, what we've done is I want to walk with God. What are you doing? I'm suppressing. You're not supposed to. It's displacement, guys. The only way that I'm ever going to get rid of evil passion is to replace it with heavenly passion. The only way I'm going to get rid of evil desires is to replace them with godly desires. The only way that I'm going to bring my appetites into control is to replace them with the appetites of heaven so that I'm hungry for God. So the whole time that you're trying to suppress, you always fail. Have you ever noticed that? I'm going to do the right thing. Ugh, I messed up. Well, you didn't replace it. It's still there. We have got to let God replace it. And in fact, this principle of divine replacement or displacement between the two kingdoms is a principle that not only works for God, it works for the devil. Because we see in the garden, when man was first born, he was born with heaven's desire, heaven's appetites, heaven's passions, heaven's thoughts, the very breath of God. When we go on in Genesis 3:3-8, let's read this and see what happens here now. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God, Adonai Elohim, walking in the midst of the garden. Aren't you glad it just doesn't say the Lord? If you understand Hebrew, or this didn't say Elohim. When Elohim, he's judgment. Adonai is mercy. Mercy and justice walk together hand in hand in that garden. If it had just been Elohim, we'd have been a grease spot. God had said, I told you the day that you eat of it, you die. You're dead. And that would have been the end of the book. God came together and he balanced judgment and mercy. He got you glad. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God, from the trees and from the garden. What they didn't realize, guys, they had standing there in them the very thing that Satan couldn't have. He could not have the breath of God in him. He could not have the nature of God in him because it was corrupted in him. The only thing Satan ever created was iniquity. It was found in him, which means it was discovered in him. But the very moment that Adam and Eve took of that fruit, their nature changed. They were born again in the garden. And the nature of Satan replaced the nature of God in them. All of a sudden, the breath of Lucifer entered into them. The desire of hell entered into them. They became a nephesh bent on hell. And so the very thing that we see them do next is the nature of Lucifer. Now, Lucifer likes to think he's a big hotshot, but his very nature, they instantly responded instinctually based upon that new nature that was just imparted in them. You see, before, with a God kind of nature, when God showed up, they always ran to him. Hey, Daddy's here. Let's go talk to Father. The minute that God shows up, and Satan's nature is in them, they went and they hid. What is the nature of Lucifer? When God shows up, he runs and hides. In fact, his intent for getting all of mankind to follow him is he is trying to put us all in between him and God, thinking God won't destroy all of us to get to him. This kind of like how terrorists do today. They put human shields. Satan is using mankind to try to manipulate God because Satan knows that God has showed his affection toward man. And the Bible says that God does not rejoice when a sinner, no matter how evil he is, perishes. Because God wants to see him converted so that he can be his son and him not have to destroy him. So what Satan does is he shields himself with the very essence of mankind, the thing that God has set his love on, saying, you surely won't go through all of them to get to me. He's a coward. And that nature was passed on because by the principle, God didn't say, I will cause everything to reproduce after the original way that I made it. It said after its own kind. So whatever it becomes is what it produces. And so after that, within I want us to stop and think for a minute, because there's one concept in the body of Christ that says in the garden that Adam didn't have any blood, and that when he sinned, he got blood. But when you look at the breath of God, the life of God, it talks about it flowing in the blood of man in the garden. Man's blood was contaminated by sin. Even in the natural, you see that when you breathe in, your blood oxygenates. Okay? It takes in so that it can distribute through the rest of your every cell of your body, that what you breathe in, just a few seconds after you breathe it in, that oxygen is carried to every single cell in your body. And one of the most interesting things, if you'd ever see somebody, and you can see them under thermal imaging, and they take a puff of a cigarette, instantly you can see darkness. Instantly, all the oxygen leaves every cell of the body. When man took of that fruit, he breathed in Satan, and all the life ran out of him. That's why the Bible says that the life is in the blood. There is a spiritual aspect to blood that just as it carries oxygen throughout your body, it can carry the presence of God throughout your being. That's why it circulates. Bible says, and we see a reflection of it, that whatever gets in your bloodstream is circulated by your heart to every part of your body. So it's in agreement with the heart. Jesus said you start breathing in heaven, that when you believe in your heart, that which you speak by the breath of God will come to pass. It is a reflection of a mechanism God has placed within our spirit That is, it's just a mirror image of the exact same thing. And so when man fell, his blood was tainted. That's why it takes divine blood to eradicate it. The blood of Jesus. There's no other way. You can't do it any other way. But the minute that that happened, all of man, all the appetites, all the desires, all the passion, all the activity of the mind, the activity of the soul, the activity of the emotions, all came in line with Lucifer. We began thinking his thoughts. We begin to feel his way. That's why many times when people are in sin and they're trapped in sin, they say, but this is the way I feel. No, it's not the original design of what you feel. You're feeling what Lucifer wants you to feel. And once you get set free, you'll start feeling what God wants you to feel. Let's just take another look at that, because this whole new nature of the devil filled all of mankind so that every offspring was filled with that nature. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, it says, but if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled from those who are perishing, those that are still of the old nature, right? Whose minds the God of this world has blinded. That he's blinded them. When I get saved, the word says, I have the mind of Christ. Whose mind did I have before I got saved? You know, people tell me, Mike, you're out of your mind. Thank you. I have the mind of Christ. I'm out of my old mind. I got my new mind. You see, before I got saved, I had the mind of Lucifer. That's why, no matter how wise you become in this world and how many technologies or philosophies or concepts the devil gives you, the Bible says, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth, they profess themselves to be wise, but they have come as fools because they're following after the mind of Lucifer, and Lucifer is extremely intelligent. You know, we're fighting him. You know, and the best of us, you know, we're lucky if we have an IQ 120, 140. You know, some days I feel like I'm at about 98, but, you know, then the Holy Ghost breathes on me. The only way I can overcome him is by the mind of Christ, because you're fighting a supernatural mind, especially when that supernatural mind has been superimposed over you. And the moment that man fell, you see, your God is who you draw your life from. And when Adam fell, he began drawing his life from God, because that, or from Satan, because that's where he began to get his breath. And his nature, he fell from grace, and he lost the divine nature, and he entered into that which was the unholy nature. That he constantly had to keep reins on it, otherwise man would go into complete chaos. And Lucifer still teaches man that if you give yourself wholly to that old nature, that you could become as a god. That's the thought behind socialism and everything else. And it was personified with Nimrod. And Nimrod is still the greatest hero of every esoteric society in the world. And what's really scary to me, there's some data, there is one world-famous archaeologist that has claimed that he has found the tomb of Nimrod. And how many know that there are probably those who are going to want to do genetic testing on it, as well as maybe genetic implementation of the very DNA of Nimrod, their hero. My hero is Jesus. And I want his DNA to overwrite my DNA. I want his thoughts to overwrite my thoughts. I want his passions to overwrite my passions. I want them I want the old stuff displaced. But we need to understand, while we're in this world, there are only two kingdoms. You know, in essence, there's not America and Russia or China. There's only two real kingdoms. And it's not based upon where you were physically born. It's based upon where you were spiritually born. And it's either the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of God. And in America, we have the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. In Russia, we have the kingdom of darkness. We have the kingdom of God. In China, we have the kingdom of darkness. We have the kingdom of God. In Vietnam, we have the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. Throughout all of Europe, we have the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And there's only two, and they are like access hormones that you can only have one or the other, that one displaces one or the other one displaces the other. That is, there is no demilitarized zone. It's either the one or the other. And they cannot dwell in the same vessel because all hell will break loose. Has anybody ever had that war going on the inside of you? Paul said, the very thing I want to do, that which is what I can't do. And what I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. Somebody deliver me. Jesus. Jesus. Now let's go and let's look at some things about man's new nature. Because man got a new nature in the garden, it's bad. You know, sometimes the new thing is not the good thing when the old thing was perfect. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Well, there's a lot of good stuff here in Peter. How many want to have your souls purified? You know, you can pray about that till you're blue in the face. Peter just showed you how to do it. Since you have purified your souls in what? Obeying the truth through the Spirit. That you obeyed the voice of God, the truth of God, by the breath of God in you. And when you did, it began to purify. That's why people all day long can memorize scriptures, guys. If all you're doing is quoting this thing, but you're not doing this thing, it's not going to do you any good. You got to obey. Your souls were purified by obeying the truth because the Holy Spirit was causing the new nature to begin taking a hold in your life. Let's go on. Listen. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. That's passion. Oh, no, we can't give in to passion, brother. You can give in to godly passion, because godly passion, you're always passionate for truth. You're passionate for the right thing. You're passionate for what God wants. When you lose that kind of passion, you can love the brethren with a fervent passion, because it will stir them up and cause them to love God all the more. We can have it. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed. What happened? We received corruptible seed in the garden. Both are seed. They get in, they grow. In the garden, man received corruptible seed. Through Jesus of Nazareth, we received an incorruptible seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. We now have an empty. Can you see this displacement? You had the corruptible seed. We threw that away because now we're replacing it with the incorruptible seed. As you obey the truth by the Spirit of God, that you displace, you purify, you take the filth of Satan's nature, Satan's feelings, Satan's thoughts, Satan's ways, and you push it aside and you begin implementing by saying, I will do what the Spirit of God says in the Word of God. And by doing that, I'm constantly displacing and I'm replacing corruptible seed with incorruptible seed. Because I have a new nature. I have a new nature. And I don't think that I clipped and pasted far enough. Let's go back to 1 Peter. Let me find it real quick here in my Bible. So what I mean this morning, God was speaking to me so fast, is like I was saying, yes, sir, and I was trying to clip and paste. No, I guess that is where I wanted to go. I'm getting kind of ahead of myself in my thoughts, is that's okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There is so much here that I want to share. This one you guys should know. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. What old things? Old things. The old nature. The nature of hell, the nature of Lucifer. That has been passed away. And when I got saved, all of a sudden he said, behold, all things have become new. Now I love this because what God just did within you, now all things were of the devil, but now he says, now all things are of God. There was a displacement. And what we've got to do, 1 Peter 1, or 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's go over it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Say that with me. I am a new creation. I'm not the old creation that the devil made me. I'm the new creation that Jesus made me. You got to convince yourself of that. Just like meditating on the names of God help you discover the nature of God, meditating on what Jesus has done in you, you will discover the nature of God in you, and then it will begin displacing the old nature. We do too much of meditating on what the devil still is in us instead of what Jesus is in us. Because what fills your mind is where your focus is, and where your focus is what you become filled with. Just the same way the advertising agencies count on sending you all these catalogs that as you look through them, your house will become eventually filled with what's in the catalogs because that's where your focus is. That's why you can sit in front of the TV and not be hungry and they'll have four or five commercials on and the next thing you know, all you want is a Whopper. You may not have been hungry, but all of a sudden there's this KFC now, you know. Why? Because you've seen 14 commercials of KFC, and something there caught your attention, and your focus caused you to be full, and you're not going to be satisfied until you get filled with what your focus was. Now, I've just given you a key. Change your focus. Change your focus to what you know you need to be full of. Instead of what the devil in the airways has, because he is still the god of this world. And we need to know everything around us is still the kingdom of darkness and is constantly trying to recapture our focus so that we'll try to fill back up with it. Because it's the old nature. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of you are in ministry. But see, reconciliation, did you ever reconcile a bank statement? Need to make sure the balance is the right way. So my ministry, now that I am in Christ, first everything in me, I've got to reconcile to the new tally statement. The new tally statement says, I'm in Christ. If this ain't Christ, it gets out. That's my ministry. Because now, in me, all things are supposed to be of God. All things have been made new. So if I find some of the old lurking, I displace it with the new. Once I get that done in me, then I can step out in authority in the world and begin the ministry of reconciliation. This world now belongs to Christ. In fact, the crescendo of the book of Revelation is this kingdoms of the earth have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Reconciliation is taking hold. Devil, you're out of here. Because the kingdom of God has come. First within, then without. You can't cast out what you're full of. You can't. I think if we could see the seven sons of Sceva in the spirit when they were trying to cast out that devil said, man, all my kinfolk are in you. Who do you think you are? I don't see no Jesus. I don't see anything in you that can displace me. What I see in you empowers me. And then he empowered over them as streakers in the Bible. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling himself to the world, not imputing their transgressions to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The word of darkness has got to get out so that it can be replaced by God. Once you get this, you don't walk into a building without saying, darkness, you're leaving because I'm walking in. I take authority. You wake up in the morning and say, flesh, here's what you're going to do today. You're going to walk with God. You're going to yield to the Spirit. You're going to think the thoughts of God. You're going to think the Word of God. You're going to respond by the passions and the desires of Jesus of Nazareth manifested in me, because I have died, yet I live, yet it is Christ living in me. So I'm going to tell you what you're going to be full of. You're not going to tell me what you want me to put in my life. I'm going to tell you what you're going to be full of, and you are going to respond. You see, through Christ, I tell the flesh what to do. The flesh doesn't tell me what to do. Let me say that again. See, that's the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, we're bringing this thing back to God's original design. Flesh, you listen to me. This is what you're going to do. This is what you're not. I don't care what you want. I am telling you what you're going to want. Because really, what I'm getting ready to tell you, once you get a taste of it, that's what you're going to want. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And so he has given us a word of reconciliation. Darkness, leave, be replaced by the kingdom of light. He has given us a word of authority so that we can make it happen, because as I breathe in heaven, I have the breath of God there, and that when God can speak through me, the breath and the word become one and turns chaos into paradise. No matter how the devil, the Bible says in the end days, God's going to tell us the end from the beginning. The beginning was what we don't read between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. There was a rebellion of Lucifer, and Lucifer devastated this planet and turned it into yuck, just like he turned mankind into yuck. And that when you have the breath of God hovering over where devil made it the yuck, and God can speak a word of reconciliation, there's light. There's life. And God gave you that ministry, because it's a part of your new nature. You're supposed to get contagious. Now let's jump over to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Or 16 through 18. And I'm going to read this out of the Complete Jewish Bible, because I think Dr. Stearns just nailed it clear through the wood. What am I saying? What I'm saying is this. Run your lives by the Spirit. Run your lives by the breath of God. Run your lives by the nature of God. Run your lives by what goes on in heaven. Let the very atmosphere of heaven come into you and run your life, just like in the garden, the atmosphere of hell came into you and it began to run your life. Now you can choose, I'm going to let heaven run my life. I'm going to let the Spirit of God run my life. I'm going to let the very breath of God run my life. Then you will not do what your old nature wants. You see the displacement? Let heaven run my life. Let that new nature, the kingdom of God is the nature of God, and that nature has now been placed in me, and I have got to decide to let it run my life. When I do, that's the only way that the old nature is not going to run my life. The only way. For the old nature wants what is contrary to the Spirit. Now we can read it this way. The kingdom of darkness wants what is contrary to the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom, the God of that kingdom, the anointing of that kingdom and the nature of those kingdoms are one. So the very essence of darkness is contrary to the very essence of the kingdom of God. And the spirit wants what is contrary to the old nature. Those oppose each other so that you find yourself unable to carry out your good intents. But, see, that's where most Christians are, because I have not learned to cast out the old nature and to drive out the old nature by letting the new nature flood in. You see, there only one man can live there. If I crucify one, I can have a resurrection of the other. And it is a resurrection because it died in the garden. It died in the garden and was replaced by something else. So the only way that I can have a resurrection of a glorified soul is to crucify the old flesh. And as I crucify it, then that which I originally got is resurrected. You're going to get that about halfway home and you're going to get excited. I'm on a daily basis experiencing the resurrection if I do that. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I count everything my life has done but to experience his glory in the resurrection. Come on now. And he wasn't just talking about the resurrection at the end. You see, there's a resurrection of my original man. Then there's a resurrection of that my thought life and my emotions and my passions and everything are restored to what God originally designed for them to be. And eventually, I'm going to get the body that I lost in the garden that is incorruptible and will never die, will never have sickness and disease on it. The body that Adam originally got in the garden was made to last forever. That is the final resurrection. But if you want to get that resurrection, you better have resurrection of the spirit and resurrection of your original man to take hold of your soul. Now he goes on to say, these oppose each other so that you find yourself unable to carry out your good intentions. But if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not in subjection to a system that results from the perverting of the Torah into legalism. Do you notice what the devil does? He perverts the Torah into legalism. Even when you say, the Torah doesn't exist for me anymore, he's got you flapping your lips like that, and then he uses your violation over here, and he says, Almighty God, I can do this in Mike's life, because he says he's free from your Torah, but yet Jesus said the Torah would be established forever, and he's violating it, and it gives me right to interject darkness into his life. He perverted it into a legal system that brings darkness. But see, if I'm following the Spirit of God will never tell you to do what is contrary to his word. Now his word says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that still true today? Okay. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not eat pork. Uh-oh. How about? Well, brother, you're just going a little bit too far. Well, the Holy Spirit is not going to tell you to eat something he's already told you not to. Once you learn that, and that's elemental, guys. That's the first thing you teach a baby. Don't put that in your mouth. That's yucky. You do it to your kids, and you get mad when God does it to you, and you say, I'll put it in my mouth what I want to. You may think it's Lincoln Logs, but it is not. Come on now. That's why when you go into, and guys, I've been in church long enough, I've heard everything. Well, the Lord told me, I'm believing for my wife to die so I can run over with Sister Hot Mama. That was not the Holy Ghost. That's a violation of the word. The Holy Spirit will never tell you what he already told you not to do in the word. And he will always tell you to do what he has told you to do in the word. And I am tired of believers getting all these revelations of stuff that's not in the word. Why is he going to tell you to do anything beyond the word when you're not doing anything in the word? You start doing all the word, then maybe he can give you a little bit something on top of that that's in agreement with it. But he's not going to tell you something beyond in the word of God until you start doing what's in here. And that attitude, I don't have to do that. That's the old nature. You're still letting the nature of Lucifer overcome the word of God in your life. You get offended at the word, well, I don't have to do that. No, you don't. Go ahead and act like the devil if you want to. But when you get the devil's reward, don't blame God. Now let's jump on to verse 24. And those who are crucified, that are Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Crucifixion is necessary. When the old passions and desires are crucified, you can have the passions and desires of heaven that God originally gave you. It's in those passions and desires the anointing can flow, that healing can flow, that authority can flow. Adam never had to worry about an animal getting up in his face until he had the nature of Lucifer flowing in his veins. The next thing you know, he found out that he was lunch. The Bible said they had a problem in Genesis after the fall in that there were wild beasts and nobody knew how to tame the wild beasts. Nobody knew how to hunt. Nobody knew how to bring them into dominion, because that dominion, true dominion, is not by an edge of a sword. True dominion is by the nature of God within you. You don't need a sword, because there is a sword in your mouth when you speak the word, and as you speak, the Holy Ghost flows out in those words. It brings everything in this planet to submission to the kingdom of God. That's why Daniel could look at lions and say, "You now become my cozy pillow for the night." That's why David could look at Goliath and say, "You're going down, Jack. You're an abomination. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine think he is?" Now, when I am living by the Spirit of God, I am living by the breath of God, because God's nature has been loosed in me. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. This is where I thought I was a while ago, and I wasn't. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain. Now, pertain is in italics, which means it's not in the original text. God has given us all things of life, godliness, through the knowledge of him. God has loosed within me life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of what? The divine nature. Now, he says on later, in the same, in 1 Peter, he says that when I obey the truth, I am purged of the old. Well, if the old is gone, what replaces the old? The new nature, the divine nature. I'm pushing it out by my obedience. You see, because knowledge unused is not really knowledge, guys. And there's an old axiom that says, knowledge is power, bull hockey. Knowledge is only power when you use it, when you walk in it. There's a lot of believers that know this word, but they don't walk in it, and they are powerless. As I begin acting, what I find in this scripture is how, you know, when God said, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, he's saying, the new nature doesn't do this. The new nature doesn't do these things, but this is what the new nature does. And so the positive commandments of God show us what the new nature does. And so as I begin responding to my new nature, it allows that new nature to take a hold of my life. It becomes an incorruptible seed that is activated by my obedience To obey is better than sacrifice. The word is activated in your life, and the new nature of God is released by your obedience, just like it was when you were obedient to the preaching of the gospel and you asked Jesus to come into your heart. Why? Because the scripture says the only way to get born again is to accept his sacrifice on the cross, to make him the Lord of your life, and to surrender to him. Unless you obey that, you're never going to get saved. No matter how many times they dunk you, no matter how many times they give you wafers and give you juice, no matter how many times, until you're obedient to that scripture, the Holy Spirit has, it's called the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. See, that's the breath of God. That as the breath of God starts to come on you, the devil's wanting to run. And we call it conviction. That old nature's wanting to run. Oh, you guys are going to get that in a minute. Before you were saved, darkness was as strong as you as it could ever get. And the minute God starts breathing on you, it wants to run. Satan, well, I mean, he has worked himself up. He looks like Arnold inside of you. And he says, I have control of you. I am strong. You're going to do what I say. This is what we're going to feel. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. And the Holy Ghost shows up and he goes, uh-oh.
Conviction. I want to run. I want to hide. Come on. Let's get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to this preacher. Let's get out of here. You don't need this. Let's get out of here. And the minute you take a breath, I receive the sacrifice of Jesus. Arnold turns into Pee-wee and then dies. If I continue to breathe and to obey, he gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. See, Christian's problems is I obey and I get me this easy chair. I'm going to heaven now. What you obeying, Christian? Got saved. What else are you going to do? Well, nothing, because, you know, salvation isn't of works, unless any man should boast. So you're not obeying anything else. And you wonder why, 30 years later, you're stuck in the same old spot you were when you got saved. You finally learned how to breathe, keep breathing. You finally learned how to obey, keep obeying. You finally learned how to get in the presence of God. For the first time, you can get in the presence of God and not run. When I get in the presence of God, I can breathe. And when I breathe, the divine nature begins flowing in me. That's why the Bible says I can boldly come to the throne of grace. I don't want to run anymore. It's not getting in God's face saying, you better help me. It's now with confidence, I'm not wanting to run. Everything within me wants to run to my daddy. And just want to be in his presence, that as I breathe heaven, I get everything that I need. And then God says, now that you come out of my presence, obey. Get the strength. Breathe in my spirit. How many of us have been in wonderful services that, I mean, it's like today, I mean, it was good. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was 11. I was wanting to turn out the lights and nobody able to tell the lights were off. You know, it was that good. But you can come out of that and not obey and lose it. God is breathing on you so that you can walk in this. Jesus said, my words are spirit, they are life. The breath of God, God spoke this. God's spirit and his word are one. God's anointing and his word and his breath are one. The anointing that can save your soul, that can make the devil run, is one with the breath of God, one with the spirit of God, one with the word of God. Because it was all out of the nature of God. Now, let us get down to where I want to take you. We're back in 2 Peter. Okay.
pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called you to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've already escaped and you don't know it, because your obedience brings escape. On the end, I can be in this world, but I'm not of this world, because what is in me is of the next world. And as I obey it, I am walking in the power and the breath of the kingdom of God. And everywhere I go, it will begin displacing the kingdom of darkness. But you got to walk in that authority. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. Then the 70... Starting in verse 17, Luke 10, 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, I fell, Satan, falling like lightning from heaven. I don't think he was talking right then about the book of Revelation. I think every time Satan would exalt himself in somebody's life, they'd cast it out and the devil would bust his butt. They'd go somewhere else. Satan had exalted himself. When you displace darkness, Satan is cast out like lightning every single time, because he is constantly trying to exalt himself over God's creation and you're God's creation. And so if you find a person in bondage, the reason they're in bondage is Satan has exalted himself above them. And when you come in the name of Jesus and you cast him out, I mean, he doesn't just fall down and go, ouch. He's casted out like he's on the end of a lightning rod getting thrown to the earth. That's the power that you have when you're breathing heaven and you're flowing in heaven and you're functioning under your new nature. In that new nature, when you come in, Satan goes out like he's riding a piece of lightning. Said, behold, or look, realize, open your eyes. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. If your names are written in heaven, you have the divine nature. The divine nature is what causes the demons to flee. If you don't stay focused in who you are and where your name is written, you can't make the demons flee. The minute you get thinking the devils are running from you, the old nature rises up and they start sticking to you instead of running from you. But I love this in the Greek. Jesus says, I give you exousia, I give you authority over all the power, the dunamis, the miracle-working power of the enemy. I give you authority over his miracle-working power. Now, how many know that if you had the wires coming out of a nuclear power plant and you grabbed a hold of both wires, you might think that was miracle-working power as you burst into flames? Okay? But all it takes to turn that off is a switch. That's authority. Turn it off. I have authority. The devil thinks he's a moving and he's working at 10,000 watts of power. And I can go, zero. You think you're hot stuff. Beep, zero. You ain't got nothing, Jack. You think you're riding the tidal wave and next thing you know, you're standing on a drop. Just turn it off. You have the authority. The divine nature in you displaces darkness. And if darkness is displaced, he has no authority. He has no power. There's nothing. He can't even stay there. He's got to run away as fast as lightning away from it. That's what the Bible says. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I get filled with light. He streaks away like lightning. In the Greek it says he'll run in stark terror. But if I'm playing the game and allowing darkness to come into me and think, it's okay, no, it's not. Because then he doesn't have to run from what you're full of because you're full of him. Now, Let's jump on to the very last one. Matthew chapter 18, verses 18, or Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I'm going just a little bit over an hour. Everybody around here ought to be happy about that, because when we switched from 60-minute cassettes to 79-minute CDs, you got a little break. Because I thought it was my calling in God to fill up every minute of that tape. Now, it said, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of this age. It was a commission to preach the gospel. Now, what we have done is we have reduced the gospel to just getting saved. Jesus never preached a gospel of just getting saved. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. That's one thing we have shown over and over and over again in all the that we've been teaching. This is like lesson number 9. Jesus came and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was his gospel, that light is going to displace darkness. If I preach salvation without the displacement of everything else, I am not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's why before he said, go out. Now, we just read in 1 Peter that when I have the knowledge of God and I act on it, it loses the divine nature in me and crucifies the other. That is paramount. Then you bring that back to Jesus. Now Jesus is saying, all authority has been given unto me. Now go teach all people to learn to breathe heaven, to submit to God, to have the knowledge of me, and to become a disciple of it, to obey it. That is the gospel of the kingdom, obedience to God. That once you're in that kingdom, you see, God is not duplicitous. If I say I'm a believer and I'm living by the old nature, I'm a liar. God's nature and God's actions and God's beliefs are one. I have now been given the nature of God on the inside of me, and now it's my duty to learn how to live by my new nature, that as I get into the Word, I find out the teachings of God, I find out the commandments of God, because you cannot be a disciple without following commandments. Because the very word disciple means to discipline myself from the commandments of my master. And so I find out that what God tells us to do in His Word is one with His nature, and as I begin to learn to flow in that nature, that new nature will always be one with the commandments. And every time that I do that, I'm establishing the new nature in me. And if we don't preach that along with the cross, because the cross says, crucify the old man. Okay? So he's there, but we never teach him how to replace it with the new. You got to learn how to move in that new nature, the nature of God that's been placed on the inside of that divine nature, so that I start wanting what God wants. I start having an appetite toward what God wants. I start having desires toward what God wants. My very thought processes begin to move, and I begin having the mind of Christ because I start thinking the way God thinks. Which is not only momentary victory, but God always looks at the long play, doesn't he? In the garden, God looked at the end from the very beginning and said, woman, I'm getting ready to send a Savior from your seed. Immediately with the fall, he said, here's the long game. I'm going to redeem you. We're going to take care of the momentary things. And then since you were just filled with the knowledge of the devil, I'm going to systematically begin giving back the knowledge of God. We call it the knowledge of the firstborn, that the firstborn, that's where the order of Melchizedek comes from, the knowledge of the firstborn. And even though Abraham wasn't the firstborn, he began walking with God with the anointing of the firstborn, so that Melchizedek had to come to him, give him bread and wine, communion, and teach him the secrets of the kingdom. And then Moses came and gave us some more. That became the foundation. And then the prophets came and gave us some more. Then it was embodied in Jesus. And everything from the book of Acts teaches us how to walk in what Jesus did for us. But it's all doing. Don't be a hearer only of the word, deceiving yourselves, but be a doer. Because I think that James and Peter could have stood next to each other and said, James said, do it so the new divine nature can take hold. You're going to purge your souls by doing goes all the way back to Mount Sinai. We will hear and we will do. We're in your presence. We see the fire on the mountain. We will hear and we will do and become your people. We will hear and we will do and we will become your people. We bask in your presence, Father, and we will hear and we will do. And we will do the works of God in the earth. Now, Father, I ask that you would take this. Father, help us understand your kingdom. Father, I ask that you would enable us to have a systematic approach of getting closer to your presence and walking in the new nature. Father, let that new nature so take a hold that it eradicates, it crucifies, it does away with completely and forever the old man that the devil birthed within us. Father, let the anointing of your kingdom flow this morning into every person who ever watches this. Father, deliver them, set them free in the name of Jesus. And Father, let the divine nature, the very nature of Jesus of Nazareth, replace Satan's nature within their being. Their will, their mind, and their emotions are going to begin coming in line with the very nature of Almighty God. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.